20, remind you where we've been. We've been looking through here, and we saw the men and their money in verses 1 through 16. If you ever see something that don't quite look right or don't sound right, just follow the money. It'll show you where the deception and the con is and the thing. It's like we was watching something last night. I told my wife, I said, this guy's fixing to try to sell books. He got a question up there and never gave the answer 5 minutes into it. And I thought, he's there to sell books is what he's there for. And I've seen that a lot of times when people do that. But you got down verses 17, 19, we saw the master and his message. His message has not changed. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And listen to this. They thought they could stop it. Listen to this. If it is the will of God and it's in this book, it cannot be stopped. There is no prolonging the wait for the rapture of the church. That's a fixed event in time. It's coming. There is no delay in the millennial reign. He's coming. See, there's things like that. But we saw last time, we saw the mother and her mission, and we saw how her 2020 was going. How's your 2020 going, by the way? But we look at verse 29. We're going to pick up there. The Bible says here, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So when Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I want to talk to you this morning on who makes the blind to see. And that's the question I will answer. Who makes the blind to see? You may give you the answer now. Jesus Christ does. Now I'm going to give you the answer, and I'm going to give you the question. You ready? Who makes the blind to see?
Jesus.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayers. We pray for this message. Father, we love you. We pray, God, that you'll help us and, Lord, do a work in our hearts and lives. God, we need a touch from heaven today. Lord, we pray, God, that you'll open our eyes to the scripture. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God, that you'll help us today, Lord, as we go to this preaching service and we look at this message today. God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight, when we get to seeing the blind receive their sight, a lot of people in this day and age are fooled by TV charismatic preachers. And they'll say this, if your church don't have miracles, then you're not in a church. I got news for them and 10 like them. If you can't raise the dead and make the blind to see, and you don't get to pick them, we do, then you ain't a real church. I heard this one guy stand up, I told you about back when he first got saved, he's on TV, said he went to Africa and raised the dead in the crusade he was in. No doctor present, no coroner present to determine that body was dead before he started or when he finished. Now if the coroner comes in most Baptist churches, he'll say they all dead, boss, they all dead. And you get to hearing people make these great and mighty claims, and they start talking this stuff about signs and wonders, how that's got to be with the church. That's for the J-E-W Jew. The reason they fall into such error, they don't rightly divide the word of truth, and they think they're Jews. They think God's done with the Jew. Do you know that the Jewish people are called Israelites? That comes from Israel, it's come from Jacob. And Jeremiah told us that tribulation, that 7 years of time, is the time of Jacob's trouble. Not them Acts 2:38 outfits. Right. They ain't even figured out yet that God is manifest in three distinct persons. They ain't even figured that part out yet.
Come on.
Amen. Listen. Amen. They ain't figured out that God's fingerprints in the number three. Mm-hmm. They ain't figured out that's why they don't write to the Bible. They don't listen. 2 Timothy 2:15, they don't study to show themselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They ain't got that far yet.
Right.
But what I want you to look at today is the conditions of healing the blind. God always has a way of doing things that you can find in this book. And if he says he's going to do something, if there's conditions put on it, if the conditions are met, he does it. Every time. Here's condition number one. There had to be blind men present. And we see the blind men. Look at that, verse 29. It says, they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men, there they are. You can't have somebody get to sight if they're not blind. Does that make sense to you? There has to be blind men present. And he says there about them, he said they were sitting by the wayside. But here's the thing, when they heard that Jesus passed by, there wasn't nothing wrong with their hearing. They said, there's the master, he's coming. They heard he passed by, they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And listen, that's all blind people nowadays. Listen, they would love to hear the footsteps of Jesus passing by so they could get their sight. The hardest time to preach something like this is when you got somebody blind in the congregation. And there's something I preached on one time about blind people, and a lady come up to me afterwards. She said, do you know that I'm blind? I said, I kind of figured you was. She looked like her eyes were kind of out of sorts there. She said, I want to let you know something. Keep preaching. It don't bother me that I'm blind. It shouldn't bother you neither. Amen. I was like, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with her faith. There may be something wrong with her eyes, but her ears and her faith was just fine. It didn't say faith cometh by seeing the Word of God. It come by hearing the Word of God.
Right.
Now notice this. You got to have the blind men. We got two blind men present. They're sitting by the wayside. And you'll notice we got to have another condition met. Here's a second condition. The blessed master has got to be present for this to happen. And they heard him coming. They said, the Lord's coming. Now, don't you notice, nobody told them that. They just knew it. And if you look down at verse 32, our Lord's call goes after them. And he says, and Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Now, before you ever realize this, before you ever get saved, if the Lord starts dealing with you, you can go ahead and mark this down. There's going to be people that's going to get between you and Jesus. Look back at verse 31. And the multitude rebuked them. They ain't said a word prior to this, and all of a sudden the multitude that's following him is going to rebuke these wise men. Here's what they said. He said, verse 31, they rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But I like this part. They cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Don't let the multitude get between you and Jesus. Three common factors will get you and get between you and Jesus. Fear, family, and friends. Fear, family, and friends. You'll be afraid, what if I get saved? What'll happen to me then? I'm sure these blind men wasn't worried about, well, if I get my sight back, I'll lose my disability check. So, bye. Well, my family goes to a different church, and if I get saved, I can't come to your church because they go to a different church. Bye. Ain't it funny how your family never witnessed you, never told you about the Lord until you got saved. Now they, oh, you need to come to our church. We got children's programs and pies for Jesus and all. We have banners all up. So I knew I'd get somebody's attention. See, we got banners up on the wall telling how faithful we are, but you wouldn't know it when we walk out the door. They had a man in his church one time, got saved. He got back to work and found out one of his co-workers at Customos was a preacher and had his own church. He said, why didn't you tell me before? He said, well, it never came up. Our Lord's call goes like this in verse 32. He said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Now, if you're faced in the same way these men are, and the Lord's call comes and he says, what do you want me to do for you? What would you tell him? Would you bring up your biggest need that you got in your life or your biggest want? Lord, you know them 21 Cadillacs are sure looking good. I wish you'd just give me them, Lord. You know these people like that? They think if God's not blessing them things like that, that they're not in the will of God. I got news for you. It's a General Motors product. You may not be in the will of God with it when you get it. Say amen in the back there. That ain't no Honda. God may not want you driving that thing. I opted out of that Ford Chevy thing years ago. I went for gas mileage and lower payments. Amen. Now watch this. You got the Lord's call coming. If he come to you today and said, what would you want me to do? Well, Lord, you know the stock market, if it'd go up, I'd sure appreciate it a little bit. That's temporal. That's temporary stuff. Lord, that you'd help me today. I got some pain I wish you'd relieve. That's temporary. He don't want to relieve. He wants to heal.
Yep.
He don't want you to see temporarily. He wants you to see all the time. Lord, if you'd help me in my Bible reading, and the only time you plan on reading is when I read the Bible to you. He may not help you with that. He asked these men because he wanted to hear them say it. Yep. And when our Lord calls you and he gets the call out right here, what will ye have that I shall do unto you? He calls them out on it. And God calls out people all the time on stuff. What if I did that for you? What would you do? But notice this. We see our Lord's compassion. He says in verse 33, they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them. So we see our Lord's call. We see our Lord's compassion. He saw from heaven since the day they were born how they had to struggle to live every day. There's a McDonald's sign way down there, blind man. I can't see it. Well, it's two golden arches. What's golden arches mean? It's a color. What's that mean? Never seen it before. Well, if you'll turn left, which direction is left? They said, well, hold your hands like this, and the one looks like an L is left. They said, we don't know what an L looks like. All them things I just told you, we take for granted. They're struggling here. Right. Well, Lord, would you do something for me? Well, what is it? What should we do? Well, I'm blind. Well, what do you want? I want to see. Now, if there's anybody blind listening to this, if you've been blind all your life, 100% down the board, you've never went to prison and never been arrested. It's these people with sight that keep looking at things and coveting and will try to steal something to get that or steal something to pay for something else or something like that. Or they'll see somebody and they don't like how they look and they'll take their life. Blind people don't do that. The only blind people in prison was made that way in prison, or they got diabetes or something happened, they lost their sight. But largely in part, blind people don't even know. If you took them to the county jail, they wouldn't know it except by the smell, what they smelled there. That's the only way they know where they're at. They'd say, we've never smelled it on this fashion before. Because the jail smells different than your bed does. Don't ever say, I get me three hots and a cot. No, you don't be in there getting no hot and cot. How's fried bologna every day sound to you? How about a box of chicken that your buddy works in the mess hall down there comes and says, you know that thing says not for human consumption on it? Right. See, my own two eyes, I was there at Northside and saw that. Now, when I ate that fried chicken, it tasted like normal people chicken, but it said not to give it to human people, but I ate it anyway. Tasted just like chicken to me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You ain't being picky on me, are you? I used to eat every Friday night preach over there. Fried chicken and preaching. That's backwards in what we do it, but it worked. We had a shorter message when there's chicken on Fridays, though. But I noticed that we see his compassion. It says he had compassion on them. Ain't you glad one day Jesus Christ had compassion on you? Amen. He took away your fear, backed off your family, and sent your friends somewhere, and he had compassion on you. He went right around that wall of doubt you created between you and everything, and that wall of anger you had up, he went right around that and had compassion on you and dealt with you anyway. I'm glad to know our Lord has compassion on the blind, because you and I was once spiritually blind. We couldn't see. We couldn't understand. It had too many these and thous. I don't agree with you. I don't see it that way. And the Bible says it plain and stuff like that. But Jesus Christ had compassion. And it says, watch this in verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Immediately. As if he had nothing else better to do, he touched them so they could see. I like the fact that Christ can come along and take somebody who's spiritually blind and he can touch their eyes. You remember when you first got saved, you started reading the Bible and it started to just come to you. It started to make so much sense. It was so much more clear. And you had somebody come up to you and say, well, I understand my Bible. How often do you read that Bible? Well, you know. Nobody's perfect. I'm going to tell you what, I met nobody's perfect years ago. And nobody's perfect told me that, well, you can't pray every day. Everybody fails. And they said, you just can't go to church all the time. I mean, things happen. And I was watching my television, and I got the best spiritual message in the world, and no, Oral Roberts wasn't part of it. Or Benny Hinn, or Creflo, please buy me a jet dollar. No, Kenneth, I'll send you to hell with my message, Copeland. who preaches a false gospel. It has a back door on it. Ours has one door, and that's the door in. I was watching that, and I got a very spiritual message. Here, you ready for the spiritual message? Aim high. It's Air Force commercial. And I got to think about all them people kept telling me, well, you know, I love the Lord, but I can't make church every service. I love the Lord, you know, I can't tithe. I got bills, and I got this. And I thought, the problem is aiming too low. Aim high. Aim high. Aim high. Look, listen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Now all of a sudden we're starting to read the Bible every day. Now we're starting to pray every day. Now we're starting to give what the Lord said give. And now God has moved in our direction. And we can't do nothing but thank Him for the eyesight to do it.
Amen.
Aim high, my friend. They tell me that when you scuba diving, that you got to keep this device on you to let you know which way is up in case you get turned around. Because if you see a light and you think that's up, that may be, you may be disoriented in something. It might be reflecting off something else. Thank God He gave us something like that to start with.
Yep.
That the deeper we get in this world, we out there trying to do something for Him, He keeps something. It's a compass that points us towards the right direction. I'm glad, thank God, He put one in my hand, ain't you?
Amen.
I'm glad when they was passing them out, listen, that I didn't get a compass that left off three directions, and right being one of them. I'm glad when they was passing out compasses that day, they only handed me half of it and said, this is just the New Testament part of the compass. I need that Old Testament part, because that's three-fourths of the compass. I need that part. Our Lord's converts, though, if you'll notice this, they received sight. It says, and they followed Him. And they followed Him. The condition for them to receive their sight was not to follow Him. Their condition to receive sight was to ask. Have mercy on us, thou son of David. He said, I will. He touched their eyes. They gained their sight immediately. He walks off and they walking off with Him. Reminds me of that song, Where Could I Go But to the Lord. I wish I could sing. I'd sing a few verses. Listen. But the gist of the song is this: I don't have nothing left. Where could I go?
Right.
And you'll be a whole lot better off when you realize you ain't got no better place to go than to the Lord. The Lord's day is set aside for the church to get together, fellowship, have preaching, study the Bible, sing praises unto Him. And no matter how the thing turns out, no matter what kind of blindness you is in, when you gain your sight from Jesus Christ, you know what you do? You follow Him. It's real simple. Before they heard Him coming, now they saw where He's going, they're going with Him. No doubt people of all ages have come to the point that, well, you know, all religion's the same. That's what they say. I heard one say the other day, they said, no matter what that stuff is, to believe in your religion and not have any proof of it, I'm not going to do that. You're the idiot, not me. Who said we didn't have proof? Who told you that? Who told you that we don't have proof? Who is it told you that we don't know something that you don't know? Because you think you know everything, but you don't.
Right.
Fella asked me one time up there at a store. He is a sales manager. He looked at me and said, how is it you follow that blindly? I said, don't follow it blindly. He said, what are you following then? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't see Him. I said, exactly. He said, well, you know, there's got to be some kind of proof. I said, for you, there is. There is proof. He said, who? I said, Christians whom God changed their lives is proof that there's something happened.
Yep.
I may not have been dumb enough to stay down in Katrina, New Orleans, when it come through in 2004. I may not have been dumb enough to stand out there with the umbrella sitting there hoping the hurricane wouldn't get me. They couldn't keep TV cameras down there because they keep blowing them away. You let 175 miles wind come in, it's going to take some things off of you. I might not have been there when the water come in and put that city underwater, but boy, when they flew those helicopters through there after it was over with, I could tell something happened. I could tell the whole city had been changed. When they went in the stores and there was nobody there and the houses were abandoned, people were dead floating down the streets, I could tell something happened. I wasn't there when they set off the nuclear bomb over there in Nagasaki over in Japan. I wasn't there. But I saw what happened afterwards. They was buildings laid completely down, dead bodies all over the place. I could tell something had happened. I wasn't there in that Mid-Eastern country here a couple of months ago when they dropped that bomb and dropped four city blocks just straight to the ground. I wasn't there when all that happened. But when they come through and show all the broken glass, the cars flipped over, the buildings wasn't there, I can tell something happened. As far as evidence, my dear friend, when God saved me, there's the evidence in my house that he saved me. Say, it's Jesus pictures on the wall, not that. Everybody has Jesus pictures on the wall. But the absence from that beer in the refrigerator sure does scream out a lot. The absence of that marijuana in my pocket sure says a lot. Are you listening to me? There is proof. God did that. You wasn't there when it happened, but boy, I was. I remember it plainly. That mighty rushing wind, amen. Listen, like a hurricane, he comes in on you. And he shows you that you're lost and undone without him and that you deserve hell. And at that moment in time, he'll stop with that message and will not give you another word. You don't need to know if there's a Noah's Ark at that point in time. You don't need to know if there's an Ark of the Covenant. And you don't need to know whether or not Jesus had brown sandals or black sandals. What you need to know is you are L-O-S-T lost. And when you agree with God that you that thing, you'll agree to something else. I need to quit that stuff. And at that point in time, before you ever get your quitter started, he quits for you. And he grants repentance according to the knowledge of the truth he just told you. And the Holy Ghost bursts you into the family of God.
Right.
You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he does the born again. These people believe they can get saved over and over. That ain't how God said it. God said born again.
Right.
Well, I was born this way. You must be born again. Well, I'm religious. You must be born again. My grandma prays. You must be born again. Right. And when you come to the conclusion of that thing like that, you'll come to this conclusion. The people that received sight, they followed him. You follow him. But see, the question you got to ask yourself is, are the conditions met? Are the conditions met in your life? Have you come to the conclusion that you will die and go to hell without Jesus Christ? That's condition number one.
Listen.
People do not get saved. That people never get saved until they realize they're lost.
Right.
I'd have people tell me, you lost and you need to get saved. And I'd tell them, I got me some baptizing way back yonder and I ain't got to have none of that. And they'd, well, bless your heart. Well, you don't come to church Sunday? Well, you know, I got things going on. I don't want to promise you anything, but... But boy, I'm going to tell you what, I knew the whole time I was lost and going to hell because when they walked off, God's still there telling me I was going to hell. Every time I turned on the TV, well, I'm going to take my text from Mark chapter 9, verse 44. I'm like, okay, he's going to preach on hell. I've heard this before. Go to funeral, they're going to say, I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 16, verse 19 and following. Message on hell. I'm sitting there thinking there's a conspiracy going on. Somebody's told this outfit I'm lost, and they're going to run and tell her, telling their preacher and telling me, and they preaching on hell every time I show up somewhere. I go visit the church sometimes, nobody even know my name in that building that preach on hell. I'd go to a wedding. I'll read you from Luke chapter 16. I'm thinking, there is something going on. Come to find out there was. There was a conspirator, but there's just one. You getting this? There's just one conspirator, and that's the Holy Ghost. He kept conspiring against me while I was trying to conspire against him. There was an absolute war going on. And the only way that war could ever stop, if a peace offering was made, and there's a mediator between God and man. Thank God when Jesus came, he didn't just die. He rose from the grave and became that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he didn't need no co-mediator showing up with him. He just showed up himself. And now he's brought reconciliation between me and God through his shed blood. The question is, listen to this. Has the condition been met in your life? Nobody can get saved that don't first get lost.
Right.
Well, that makes you a good church member. Well, I don't ever get my preacher trouble. And I thank you, but you still need to get saved.
Amen.
Some of the best people I know in life that pays their bills on time and does great things for society and everything, they need to be born again.
Yeah.
I gave a man a book years ago in hospital hallway. I just got this book too. You ever been here before, Christian? You just get something and God says, give it to them. His book on Oliver Green about the rapture of the church, the end times. Just bought it in Greenville. I was going to go sit down in that waiting room, this is pre-iPad, and read that book while I was waiting on somebody's surgery. Here come a guy, and you and Holy Ghost said, give that book to him.
I said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I said, "Here's your book to read." I'm walking off like Fred Flintstone when he dropped his bowling ball. You know. Ran into him this week. He's saved now. Amen. Don't know if that done it, but boy, it might have had a part in it. I know it got pride out of my hands and put in his. Amen. Let me tell you something. Is it happening in your life yet? Have you realized yet that all this stuff's turning around? God's done this, and he's coming by your way just because he can, and because his compassions fail not and his mercies fail not. They didn't ask for give us what we deserve, Lord. They knew they was getting that. See, if the conditions are met and you realize this in your life, God's dealing with another condition you look at too with this thing is simply this. It's a question. Has the conditions been met in your family? Have you realized who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Or whom your father is? Oh, well, I know that one. The Bible says God's my father. If you're lost, the devil's your father.
Right.
Plain text of scripture. Jesus, looking at a bunch of religious hypocrites, told them all, "Ye are of your father the devil." Boy, I love to preach that on Father's Day. You know why? It fits most people. They don't realize that yet. They think they're fighting the devil. They're fighting God, and their daddy's the devil. They're fighting. And the reason you're the way you are and the reason why you do what you do is because you're in the wrong family and you got the traits of your father going on. You do things your father does. He does things his father does. And listen to this. The greatest thing is that when God saves somebody, when he gives them their sight and he spiritually saves them people, he puts them in his family. And listen to this. You ever seen these certificates of legacy and stuff where they show you where you're from? I found out, boy, I'm a mixed up outfit. I'm from Wales, England, Scotland, and Ireland on paper and DNA. I thought they lied on the paper. It's right. So what I'm telling you is I'm English and Irish and Scottish. So I'm a redhead with a bad temper that likes to drink tea at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But it's okay. I got a new family when I got saved. Spiritually, I was of the devil. Now I'm spiritually, I'm of the Lord. And get this. Here's the best part. I didn't get liberty to do everything I wanted, but I did get liberty to go be with him in heaven. I got liberty where I can serve him down here on this side of the grave. And I want that for you. I want you to have that. Don't be bound up by religion. That's like wearing handcuffs. You can't grab nothing hardly. You got to turn around to get it. And then you don't know what you're doing with it half the time. And you can't get out of it because only certain people have keys to them things. What are you going to do? You're bound. But see, God will raise up some conditions and show you about your family. And he'll bring the condition of the two blind men and the blessed master along. And he wants to do this in your friend's life. You know what the obstacle is? You. Do you realize that under people that hear the gospel preaching, behind them is 100 friends that they don't realize is watching them, but they're watching them. And if you're a religious hypocrite and your friends see that, they'll be one too. They'll follow your example. They sure will. I've seen people at funerals come up and talk to me and say, "I know I need to get saved. Can you meet with me later?" And before they can even walk off good, a friend comes up and knows that person God's dealing with them. They saw it all afternoon. And they'll say, "Come on, buddy. Let's go get a beer. Let's go party. Let's go do this for John or whoever's in the grave. Let's go pull one out for him." Don't you realize the trouble that man got into in that kind of lifestyle? You going to follow him to it? It don't end right there where he's at. And everybody don't go to heaven just because they're dead.
That's right.
We saint people around here when they die. We thought Catholics were bad. We do it worse. We're far worse than they are. Because everybody goes to heaven and hears somebody tell it. I've seen some of these reprobate preachers around here talking about, "Oh, I know my dear friends in heaven. I know my dear friends in heaven right here." They're crying for a reason. They know they headed to hell with them. They know it. They know it. But do you know it? Have you come to the place in your life where you saw how your friends are getting away between you and God and getting saved? You want to call the master, but they keep hollering louder than you. He's got compassion, but you won't go around there to get it. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. Hey, listen, the conditions is there's got to be a need, and he's got to meet the need. He's already done his part. He died on this earth by crucifixion. Through his shed blood, we now have redemption. His blood. Not through his death, his blood. When that blood meets the altar in heaven, listen, there's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. There's where righteousness is. There's Christ. Hear ye him. That condition has been met. The other condition, they got to be somebody willing to realize they're blind. Not physically blind, spiritually blind. Well, I don't see things like that. I know you don't. You can't believe this book. When people believe this book, it's no problem. These guys believed. Here comes the master. Have mercy on us, thou son of David. What you want to do to you? Well, Lord, it's pretty obvious. I'm lost. Save me. See, when you get to that point, look what he had compassion on them and touched their eyes. He touched the very thing that needed to be fixed. And most people today, most people you look at, that you're friends with on social media and everywhere else, they only have one problem. The rest of it's a symptom of that problem. Problem is they lost. You know, I'd like to see people that post Bible verses on Facebook believe them. Amen. And get some good old born again about them. So you think you're not saved? No, they're drunk videos and the way they cuss kind of convinces me they're not. Their life's never been changed. These blind guys, what changed about them? Everything. You go from not having sight to one day God opens your eyes like that. Boy, they won't have to say, where's old blind Bartimaeus or whatever your name was? Who you calling blind? I got my sight. You sure you don't want these cool sunglasses? I saw you left them on the street back there. Don't need them no more. Well, your eyes do look a lot better. What happened to you? Jesus touched me. And you go through that grocery line you've been going through for 30 years, and they see the beer ain't in your buggy, they'll think something's up. You ain't religious, are you? No, not religious at all, but Jesus touched my blind eyes, and my blind eyes have been opened. In fact, that stuff's of the devil. And listen, I'm going to go to church this Sunday, and I'm going to tell them guys you used to go to bar that I know they go to church with, I'm going to tell on them. Hey, man, tell them. And if I was in a church where all the deacons were a bunch of drunks and everything, I'd leave that church tomorrow. I wouldn't even turn around and say goodbye. You know why? Because that silver-tongued devil has been tickling your ears. He'll talk you into staying.
Right.
You don't think the devil's going to roll over and let you stay in some drunk Baptist church, do you? He's going to keep you there and make you a deacon with him. I know one man told me, he said, I was leaving to go to a Bible-believing church. Dude offered for me to be a deacon. He said, I didn't know how to spell deacon. I just knew I wasn't going there. You don't offer people offices to keep them in church.
Right.
Listen, I see this thing. I see our Lord's converts. Immediately, their eyes received sight, and they followed him. They followed him. Who makes the blind to see? Well, I see that Jesus does here. None of the disciples did this miracle right here. They weren't ready nor empowered to do this right at this point, but Jesus was. He had compassion. He got compassion for you today. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.